From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. It's been 3 years since we've last heard from that steely-eyed, handsome action hero, but now he is back on the big screen. No, not James Bond, but another international man of intrigue. No martinis, no bikinis, but lots of explosions. Bourne, Jason Bourne.
We have a situation.
Bourne showed up on our surveillance in southern Europe.
Touring Italy.
London. Tangier.
What's he after?
Matt Damon revives his role as the assassin with a killer case of amnesia in the third installment of the Bourne trilogy, the films based on the Robert Ludlum novels. The first film in the series, The Bourne Identity, was released in 2002, and in each subsequent movie, Bourne gets ever closer to unlocking his past. Paul Greengrass directed the second film in the series, The Bourne Supremacy, as well as this installment, The Bourne Ultimatum. We spoke with him recently about how he shot this latest film. The series is wildly popular and has a large international following. The director Greengrass says he knows the secret behind Bourne's box office appeal.
I do think that the Bourne franchise has created a new kind of action hero in the genre. I think the thing that people respond to, particularly women, I think, is that Bourne isn't just some kind of macho, gun-toting male with, you know, outdated attitudes. The fact is here you've got a character who is, you know, every inch the action hero in the sense that you get a tremendous immersion in action-adventure, but, you know, the character has vulnerability. The character is complex.
And he's almost existential. He just wants to know who he is.
Well, yeah, the Bourne franchise is a quest, and each film develops that quest as he moves closer towards discovering the secret of his identity.
Who was I?
They gave you so many identities.
Cheever, Lee, Kane, Bourne. You were one of the first ones in the program.
The big challenge of Bourne Ultimatum, which was that the, you know, Bourne Identity and Bourne Supremacy had, you know, very successfully operated on a series of questions. Who am I? Where do I come from? I think in Bourne Ultimatum, Bourne has got to get the answers to that, and the film has got to provide those answers, you know.
I want to ask you about a particular fight scene. It's between Matt Damon and an assassin that is supposed to snuff out Jason Bourne. It's a brutal scene. It's vicious. They're kicking and flipping and swinging things at each other with everything they seem to be able to find in the room, books and candlesticks, and it goes on for a really, really, really long time. And I was struck by the sound from this fight scene. And before we go on, do you mind if we just take a listen to a clip from this? We talk so much about the visual impact of films. How important was the sound in this particular scene?
Sound in any movie, particularly obviously an action movie, is profoundly important as picture. You know, I think one of the things that I'm very proud of in this film is the sound. I mean, the editor of the film, Christopher Rouse, and the entire sound team did the most superlative job, I think, in designing it. So it has texture, so you always feel when you move from city to city, and you have to be allowed to feel the texture of the cities themselves. That's what has to lead the sound design. That fight's a supreme example, I think, so that you capture the kind of violent ballet, which is essentially what a fight is on screen.
A violent ballet?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a dance. It's a violent dance. And that's actually how you construct them, incidentally, when you're, before you shoot them, you go into a dance studio and you design rhythm and moves and narrative, you know, who's on top at what point and why, or what moves create counter moves, and, you know, you're trying to create a sense of shape in that. The more you can enclose the dance, which essentially is very anarchic and wants to explode out, the more you contain it, the more intense it becomes.
Watching this film, I couldn't help but think about the people behind the camera and what kind of physical training they had to do to prep for a film like this. There's one scene in particular I'm thinking of where Jason Bourne jumps off a roof through a window, where this family is stunned to suddenly see this man in their kitchen. And when he makes that leap, the camera seems to be following him from behind. How did you maneuver some of these shots?
The problem was I wanted to get the shot so that you had the sensation that you were jumping with him. And what we then did was put the cameraman on a wire, essentially, on a harness and a wire, so that as the double ran and made the free jump, the cameraman could essentially be harnessed up and run and jump himself, but be supported, because obviously the cameraman couldn't make that jump with a camera on his shoulder. And that's how we got that shot, and it's an absolutely spectacular moment, I think.
Are there ever times where you come to them with an idea for a shot like this, and they turn to you and say, are you crazy? Do you really want me to jump off a building with a camera strapped to my shoulder?
Yeah, pretty regularly. quite often. They look at you like you're mad. And yeah, sometimes it won't work, you know. Sometimes you're trying to get a shot and it's just not physically possible. But what's great about it is you can get the freedom to shoot in an indie style, but to be able to conceive of coverage on a, you know, with production values of a big major Hollywood movie, and that's the fun of it. You know, that it enables you to marry both together in an interesting way.
Now, I don't want to spoil the plot, but this is the third in the series, and it's the film where things come full circle as you wind up this trilogy. At the end, Bourne knows much more about who he is and where he comes from. Is there room for a fourth film? This has always been billed as a trilogy, but...
Well, I don't really know, is the honest truth of that. The point about these films is you have to have a viable idea. You have to have a reason to make the film. And at the moment, I don't know where the character might go next, if indeed he goes anywhere. But of course, you never know when the next chapter might unfold.
Paul Greengrass, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That was Paul Greengrass, director of The Bourne Ultimatum. The film opens nationwide today. You can see a clip from that violent ballet between Jason Bourne and an assassin, plus other scenes from The Bourne Ultimatum, at our website, npr.org.